Well, please open at Joshua chapter 1. We're going to consider the verses that Creighton read to us, verse 10 to verse 18. But just to recap, we've said in previous weeks that this book of Joshua is a transitional book. It's a transitional stage for the people of God. It's a new chapter in their lives. Do you remember? For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. That generation was an unbelieving and disobedient generation. And by God's judgment, the generation died. A new generation was raised up with two leaders, Joshua and Caleb. They were the two men who'd served faithfully. They had wholly followed the Lord. The rest of the people, they'd been discouraged and disobedient, and they died. But Joshua and Caleb, they were to lead the people into the promised land, and particularly Joshua. You see, Joshua took Moses' place. Moses died. The servant of the Lord died. Moses fulfilled his calling. Moses did what God had said for him to do. He brought them to the brink of the promised land. And Joshua, the young man, was to lead them in. Now, Joshua had seen God at work in wonderful ways during the wilderness years. He'd seen God provide manna from heaven. He'd seen God provide water from a rock. He'd seen God defeat the enemies of God's people. He saw how God was with Moses. He saw how Moses spoke to God face to face. He'd had remarkable experiences. He didn't depart from the tabernacle. He served there and he sought the Lord there. And yet, in this new chapter, Joshua needed tremendous encouragement. You see, he was bringing thousands and thousands of people across the Jordan River to face seven Hittite nations. It was a huge thing that God had called him to do. And he couldn't go in his own strength. He needed to be encouraged by the Lord. And so the Lord did that. He used Moses, first of all. Moses said to him, "Be strong and of good courage. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And then in chapter 1 of Joshua, we hear the Lord saying twice to him, "Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage to obey the word of God." We read that in verse 7. You need courage to not deviate from the word of God. You need strength to not go to the right hand or to the left hand, but steer the middle path and obey exactly what God has written in his word. In the law, in the first five books of the Bible, if you obey God's word, and if you meditate in it day and night, Joshua, then you will know good success. Then you will prosper. So Joshua had been given the keys by which success would come. Obedience to God's word, meditating on God's word. And he'd been given many promises. The Lord said, "Wherever the sole of your foot treads, there you will gain victory. No man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life, Joshua. And I am with you." Tremendous promises. You know, Joshua didn't just receive the promises from Moses. He received them directly from the mouth of God. And then, at the end of this chapter, verse 18, the very last words, some of the people as well, they say to him, "Only be strong and of good courage." Do you think Joshua was getting the message? See how many times the Lord spoke to him through different people? Through different means, God speaking directly, Moses speaking to him, and now the people of God speaking to him. The Lord was very gracious to him. Sometimes God does that in our lives. We don't receive an audible voice from God. But God, he speaks to us through different people, through different means. We may hear one sermon, we may visit another church and hear another sermon, and it's the same message. Or some brother or sister gives us a word of encouragement, and it's the same message, or we're reading the Bible, and the same thing God is saying to us. Have you had that experience? It's wonderful, and we know God is speaking to me. And often God does this at critical junctures in our life to encourage us and to strengthen us. Now we're looking at verses 10 to 18, And it's all about moving forward together. That's an appropriate theme for us as a church, isn't it? I was extremely encouraged on Tuesday night. I'm sure you were. We had loads of people at our prayer meeting. We could have almost moved it into the main building. And we're seeing that in recent Tuesday meetings. The Lord bringing the people of God together to pray. Surely that's a sign of God's blessing and God's hand upon us. I was encouraged this morning and this evening to see different people in the prayer meeting before the services. And it was encouraging, our church anniversary service, how many people of the church were able to be committed to that service. And it's lovely when the people of God come together and work together and move forward together. Now Joshua, he knew he needed to encourage the leaders to work together. And so first of all, he speaks to the officers and he gives them instructions. And then he realizes after that he needs to speak also to 2.5 tribes who decided to settle on the eastern side of the Jordan. He said, yes, you may settle there, but I want you to encourage you to work together with us. I want the men to cross over the Jordan with us and to fight with us. Now, the first thing we're going to consider this evening is this. It was a time to act. Did you notice what Joshua said? Verse 10, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. It was now the time to act. There could be no delay. They had 3 days to get themselves ready and to make their provisions, and then they were to enter into the promised land, to cross the Jordan. Now, in the Christian life, there are times to wait and there are times to act. And we need to know what God is saying and at what juncture. For example, the apostles, after Jesus Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father, they were told not immediately as such to go into all the world. Yes, that was the commission, but they were told to wait in Jerusalem. They were to wait there, praying, seeking God. And so they met in an upper room, 120 of them, and the apostles, many of them were women, and they waited upon God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has said, wait, for the promised one, the helper, is coming. Wait for him. And they waited, and when the Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, then they went out into the world, and then they preached the gospel. Jesus waited until he was 30 years old before his ministry began. There are times of waiting, aren't there? Gideon put his fleeces out before the Lord. He wanted to know that God was in it before he went forth. There are times where we need to wait upon the Lord. But there are other times where inaction is fatal. Do you remember Moses? There he was on his face praying, and the Lord said to Moses, get off your face. He said, go. You see, it was fatal then to wait. The Egyptians were behind, mountains on either side. The Red Sea was in front of them, but the Lord said, get off your face, Moses, and go. Lead this people across the Red Sea. It was critical. They obeyed the Lord. The Egyptians were nearly upon them. Joshua knows now that it's time for God to act and for the people of God to act. It's time for them to go into the land and see God acting, overcoming these nations. Now, some conjecture that chapter 2, which speaks about the spies, really should be put before verse 10 and verse 18. Some say, well, the spies must have gone into the land and that would have taken longer than 3 days. Well, whether or not that's the case, it doesn't really matter. The way it's written is the way God wanted it to be written. You see, in chapter 1, verse 2, the Lord says, arise, go over the Jordan. God is saying, now. The whole sense of chapter 1 is urgency. is imminent. You need to go. Yes, the spies, of course, they went in and they spied out the land and they came back. But you know, it was imminent. And he said, you've got 3 days. 3 days in which to prepare yourselves provisions. Why would delay be a problem? Well, delay could give opportunity for the people of God to rethink. Delay could give opportunity for the people of God to say, well, is God really in this? Is God really leading across the River Jordan? It could have given them opportunity to have all sorts of doubts, to fear all sorts of things. You only needed one complainer, and that could spread amongst the camp. Delay would also give opportunity for the enemy to fortify itself. Delay also could mean that the people of God were not taking the word of God seriously. Joshua would have passed on the message. God has said, cross the River Jordan. And if there was an undue delay, the people would have been showing that they were not taking God seriously at his word. Now, friends, we need wisdom, don't we? We need to know the time when it is to take the bull by the horns and to go ahead trusting the Lord, not missing opportunities that God has put before us. We need to know when decisive action is needed as a church. Often in churches, things don't get beyond the discussing and the thinking. And sometimes one day doubt is raised, another discouragement is raised, and nothing happens. And good opportunities are missed. Now, there are many commands that we don't need to wait over, aren't there? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We don't need to wait. Well, you might say, well, I'm not able. But you can say to people, well, I understand that Jesus is my Saviour. I understand who he is. What you know of him and the truth of the Bible, you can pass it on. You can give your testimony. There are those maybe who are being called to the ministry, and yes, they need time for training and preparation, but that never stops the advancing of the gospel. We go into all the world and we preach the gospel. God has given us many commands that we don't need to delay about. Do good to all, and especially to the household of faith. Are we doing that? Are we seeking to be kind and good to everybody, but especially remembering God's people? Jesus has said, love your neighbour as yourself. We fulfil the law of God as we love our neighbour as ourself. Those who are parents are told to bring their children up in the instruction and the training of the Lord. We don't need to delay or think about that, do we? There are many commandments that God has given to us that we do not need to delay on. But there are some things that we need wisdom over, and we need prayer over, and we need to know, is God in this? And if God is in it, then we act with wisdom and with grace. But what we do know is the Bible says, redeem the time, because the days are evil. We're to make the most of every opportunity. And so what does Joshua do? Well, he speaks first to his officers. He needs them on board. He knows that they will then in turn speak to the people. He realizes as well that it's a different era now. There's no more manna. The manna was for those 40 years. There's no more supernatural provision. Now they need to make their own provisions. And they need to do that within 3 days. And then they are to go across. So my first point this evening is this. There's a time to act. And may we know as a church when to go ahead in a certain project and how to go ahead. But let us not delay if God is in something. But then secondly this evening, a time to unite. You see, Joshua wanted all of the people of God on board. Yes, in one sense, you could say, what was the need for the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh to go with them? Couldn't they stay And couldn't 9.5 tribes go alone into the promised land? Because the victory belongs to the Lord. But you know, God uses means. And God understands that when not all of God's people are on board, often morale fails, often discouragement sets in. And God uses his people, and he wants his people to go forward together. Now in Numbers chapter 32, Moses is speaking to the Reubenites and the Gadites. And in, in Numbers 32, he calls these two tribes to beware of what they're doing. Sorry, my voice is failing. I'm just going to take a little bit of water here. You see, they say, the land where we are is good. There's much livestock here. We've got much livestock, and the ground is good for our livestock, and we would rather settle here on the eastern side of the Jordan. And Moses warns them and says, well, be careful, because you may well be discouraging your brethren. So it's a very dangerous thing to do, to discourage the people of God. He said, do you not remember the former generation who died off? Do you not remember how those 12 spies went into the land and they brought back discouraging reports and they discouraged the people, and the people said, we will not go in. And God's anger, his wrath, was incurred as a result. God was angry with that people because of their unbelief. They said they would not go in. And so Moses, he warns these two tribes about it. Look here at verse 6. Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Shall these other tribes fight and you're here in safety? Verse 7. Now, why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? So he says to them, morale is affected by disobedience. Morale is affected by failing to stand shoulder and shoulder with the people of God. You can bring discouragement upon God's people by purely not being alongside them in the battle. Well, Moses is kind to them because they say, we will go, our men will go, but we want to build cities and we want our little ones and our wives to stay here. Our men will go over and they'll fight. And once they fought and the other tribes have their full inheritance in the land, then we will return to the land. And Moses said, okay, he permits them to do this. But he says in verse 23, if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So Moses is very clear. He's saying you're pledging obedience. You're making a vow. You're saying you're going into the land, the men are going, but be sure you fulfill your promise, lest God's judgment fall upon you and your sin find you out. Now, what are the lessons here? You see, Joshua, he had to remind them, didn't he, in chapter 1 of the promises they made. It wasn't just now Reuben and Gad, but half of the tribe of Manasseh as well. They joined in with the Reubenites and the Gadites, and they said, we want to stay. Well, he's very gracious to them, the way in which he speaks. Look at verse 13. Joshua, he's a wise leader. He says, the Lord God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. He says, yes, I understand. By God's permission, you're allowed to stay here on the east side. And he reminds them that God is very gracious. Even though the other tribes would take their little ones and their wives into the thick of the battle, as it were, he says, no, your wives and your little ones, they may remain here. But then he says, do what you promised to do. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest. So Joshua, having spoken first to the officers, he then speaks to these 2.5 tribes. In one sense, you could say He's preempting a division. He's looking at a possible situation that could arise, that if he didn't address them, didn't speak to them, and didn't remind them of their promise, and that the people of God has suddenly gone ahead, and then these two other tribes had drawn back a division in the camp, and he's preempting that by saying, hold on to the promise that you made, fulfill it. And then your brethren will know rest as they know victory, and you also will know rest as you return to the east side of the Jordan. Well, what are the lessons? I'm sure they're very clear. There are many lessons here. I think one big lesson is this. I mustn't think as a Christian just of me and of my life and of my family, me and my God and my situation. I mustn't think I can settle here and it doesn't really matter what happens with those other people. No, we're to remember that we're part of a church. We're all part of the body of Christ. We're all members of the church of Christ. We all need each other. And it's not about me and my life. That's one big lesson. Another lesson is this. Failure to support others may bring great discouragement upon them. Imagine if on Tuesday night, the little tiny church in Pencode, with maybe 8 members in that church and a new young pastor, receives no other visits from any other churches. Imagine how that church would feel. Here's a joint prayer meeting, but the other churches can't even be bothered to join in and pray with us. What discouragement may set in? You see, morale is affected by unnecessary absences. And commitment to Christ is always about commitment to his church. Because the church of Christ is his body. I wonder if we've really seen the importance of the unity of the people of God. Joshua saw it. You need to go with us. We need you. Yes, God is mightier than all, but God wants you. We need you. And if I had a pencil in my hand and I said to you, I'm going to snap it, you would say, yeah, that's not so difficult, he'll snap it. But if I have 50 pencils in my hand and I said I'm going to snap them all, you'd say, I don't think he can. It's true, I wouldn't be able to snap them all. And that's what it's like in the Church of Christ. We're stronger when we are together and when we're working together and when we're seeking the Lord together. What other lessons? Well, I think we ought to say this. We don't only consider our own church, but with God's help and by his grace, we seek to think about other churches as well. What is our responsibility as Tabor to supporting other little churches? It was lovely yesterday. We had a church supporting us in a wedding, and then some of our members were able to go to another church where there's an induction of a minister and support there. It's important to encourage the wider body of God's people. You see, there's a time to act, but there's always a time to unite. And Joshua is calling the people of God to unite. You cannot be a solitary Christian. You cannot be an island. It cannot be just about you. It's always about the church. It's always about the body. It's always about us. We are the people of God, and God wants us to move forward together. And then lastly, a time to pledge allegiance. Look at verses 16 to 18. This is tremendously encouraging. Their response, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. That must have been so encouraging for Joshua. Here's a people who are loyal to their leadership. Here's a people who are prepared to throw their lot in with the leadership. Verse 17, just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Now, this isn't the old generation that disobeyed Moses. This is the new generation. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. And then they say this, whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Now, that didn't come from Joshua. That came from the people. You see, it's a war situation, and they're saying, we believe the best way to keep us together is to say, deserters, as it were, must be shot in the back. People who turn their back on God's people and walk out of the war, well, they ought to be shot. A sort of First World War or Second World War situation. That was their idea. They so wanted the people of God to be together. They were pledging allegiance to the leadership. Now, above all, these verses speak to allegiance to Jesus Christ, because he is the captain of our army. And Joshua is always a type of Jesus Christ. But in a secondary sense, it does talk about submission to leadership. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. The apostle who wrote this, he understood the need for leaders to lead well, to lead properly, to care for God's people, to pray for them, to watch out for the souls of God's people. But he understood also that if the people of God were submissive, that would make their job so much easier. Instead of knowing grief, they would know encouragement and joy in their souls. And we can thank God that that's in a very large extent true in our church. The Lord is blessing us and leading us. But you know, I want to return to this thought of a time to pledge allegiance, not so much to leadership, human leadership. But you see, we pledge our allegiance to Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can give us true rest. You see, I don't know if you've noticed in verses 10 and 12, there's an emphasis on rest. The word comes up twice. He says, you're no rest, you 2.5 tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan. But you know, you've got to allow the people of God to go in first, win the battle on the other side of the Jordan, overcome these 7 Hittite nations, and they enjoy rest. And as you go through the book of Joshua, one of the great themes is rest for the people of God. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it says this, that Joshua, he understood that this rest that was given to them was not a final rest. Joshua spoke about another time. So we read in Hebrews 4, verse 8, this, for if Joshua had given them rest, he, God, would not have spoken of another day. You see, the real rest isn't found in a physical land. The land of Canaan flowing with milk and honey is not found on the other side of the Jordan, where there's lovely pasture land for cattle. The real rest is not just having a happy time, being at peace with one another. True rest is found in Jesus alone. It's a spiritual rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you pledge your allegiance to him, the one who can give you rest? Do you know that rest? Do you know the peace and the calm of sins forgiven? Have you entered into your rest? You enter into your rest by faith in Jesus Christ, and you're given assurance of heaven. Have you pledged yourself to him? Jesus, he conquered sin and death and hell, and rest is found in him. And may it be that we say, as they said to Joshua in verse 16, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. We say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, whatever you command us to do, by your grace, we will do it. And wherever you command us to go, whatever you command us to do, and wherever we go in our lives, Lord, by your grace, we will do it. Will we pledge our allegiance to Jesus Christ? So here in Joshua, the message this evening is this. There is a time to act. And let's take every opportunity that God gives us without delay. There's always a time to unite, We need to face our enemies together. We need to pull together and overcome the evil one. And there's a time always to pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ, who alone can give rest. Amen.